Blog Talk Radio.
Man.
It's the Blackmail Show. That was Michael Jackson with Man in the Mirror. We tried to play John Legend, Wake Up Everybody, pun totally intended, but the man wasn't trying to hear that. Thank you for being with us on another Wednesday. I am the Black Activist.
Black Mother, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
I'm well, and I'm even more excited to welcome to the show for the first time, the Black Pope. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so honored to be with you guys. This is great. I'm so honored.
It's exciting, right? It's always a new and challenging thing when you are on uncensored, unedited, say what you will radio. But in that same regard, it's exciting, and we're happy to have you, and so we extend a warm welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's always great to be amongst my own, so I'm honored. I'm just honored to be here, and I hope we can generate some great conversation and get some minds thinking and get some provocative conversation on here about some true issues.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So we've got to thank our sponsors who give us the platform to be able to do what we do on a regular basis. As we say every week, we are part of the Stand Omni Media umbrella. That conglomerate not only consists of us on your radio every Wednesday, but it's the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay, Capital T, Gentlewomen's Quarters, Andre's Asylum, and we're actually in communication with three other possible shows. So be on the lookout for the season premieres of everything that's already on the roster and rolling out some newness for you. In addition to that, we are proud to be sponsored by Eve for Eve Online, the premier lesbian dating website. We've also learned that they will be doing a few upgrades, so look out for them and the new dating app. You can find them online at EVE4EVE Online. Twitter, Facebook, everywhere else. That's where they can be found. Also, we're sponsored by the Lifestyle Power Players, a 501c7 organization for people of purpose and professionals in the LGBTQI community. We're loving the sponsorship relationship with Badass Bingo. This isn't your granny's bingo. It's a party pack production. So if you are interested in having Badass Bingo be a part of your venue, your birthday party, wherever you'd like them to be, they can be. Check them out on Facebook as well at Badass Bingo DC and talk about a package that will work for you. Those are our sponsors. We're excited, so excited. Tonight we are getting a word. The Black Rev will be with us later, but in the interim, the Black Pope is going to usher us into a conversation about the relevance of Black History Month, the plight of education access for Blacks, and debunking the myth of the quote-unquote figurehead. We want to hear from you as well. The number here is 646-787-8623. That number, again, is 646-787-8623. We are at Blackmail Show on Twitter. We would love it if you send your tweets our way. We respond to those as well. So we're going to play one more song, and once we get into the song, we're going to get into this conversation. Here's some Kanye and Hov, Never Let Me Down.
Oh, baby! Turn them over. Get up, I get it. First I snatched the streets, then I snatched the charts. First I had they ear, now I have they heart. Rappers came and went, I've been here from the start. I seen them put it together, watch them take it apart. Seen the rovers roll up with ribbons. I seen them repo, resold, and redriven. So when I reload, he holds number one positions. When you hot, I'm hot. And when your feet cold. Mine's a sizzling, it's plain to see. Niggas can't fuck with me, cause I'ma be that nigga for life. This is not an image, this is God-given. This is hard living mixed with crystal slipping. It's the most consistent hold. Give you the most hit, you can fit inside a whole distance. Nigga, I'm home on these charts, y'all niggas visiting. This whole position, Jeff Gold in the rap. I'm back to claim pole position. Holla at you, boy.
Get up, I get up, I get up, I get up, I get down for my grandfather who took my mama, made her sit in that seat where white folks ain't want us to eat. At the tender age of six, she was arrested for the sit-ins. And with that in my blood, I was born to be different. Now niggas can't make it to ballots to choose leadership, but we can make it to Jacobs or to the dealership. That's why I hear new music and I just don't be feeling it. Racism's still alive, they just be concealing it. But I know they don't want me in a damn club. They even make me show ID to get inside a Sam's Club. I done did dirt and went to church to get my hands scrubbed. Swear I've been baptized these three or four times. But in the land where niggas praise you kinds of getting paid, gonna take a lot more than coupons to get a save. Like it take a lot more than do-rags to get your way. Nothing sad as that day my girl father passed away. So I promised to Mr. Rainey I'm gonna marry your daughter. And you know I gotta thank you for the way that she was brought up. And I know that you were smiling when you seen the car bought her. And you sent tears from heaven when you seen my car get balled up. But I can't complain what the accident did to my left eye. Cause look what an accident did to left eye. First Aaliyah, now Romeo must die. I know I got angels watching me from the other side. Get up, I get down.
We all here for a reason on a particular path. You don't need a curriculum to know that you are part of the math. Cats think I'm delirious, but I'm so damn serious. That's why I expose my soul to the globe, the world. I'm trying to make it better for these little boys and girls. I'm not just another individual. My spirit is a part of this. That's why I get spiritual. But I get my hymns from him. So it's not me, it's he that's lyrical. I'm not a miracle. I'm a heaven-sent instrument. My rhythmic regiment navigates melodic notes for your soul and your mental. That's why I'm instrumental. Vibrations is what I'm into. Yeah, I need my Lubarende, but that ain't what gives me the heart of Kunta Kinte. I'm trying to give us free like Sinkay. I can't stop, that's why I'm hot. Determination, dedication, motivation. I'm talking to you and my many inspirations. When I say that I can't let you or self down. If I were on the highest cliff, on the highest rip, and you slipped off the side and clenched onto your life in my grip, I would never, ever let you down. And when these words are found, let it be known that God's membership has been signed with a language called love. That's why my breath is felt by the deaf, and why my words are heard and confined to the ears of the blind. I too dream in color and in rhyme. So I guess I'm one of a kind in a full house. Cause whenever I open my heart, my soul, or my mouth, a touch of God reigns out.
Take him to church. Get up, I get.
Who else knows and how
this song? Oh yeah, when he finished,
started from nothing, but he got
the
this strong.
Threw
the rock from a pebble, pedal rock before I met you. Pedal bikes, got my nephews pedal bikes because
Ooh.
They expect you. Let you tell it, man, I'm falling well. Somebody must have caught him, cause every fourth quarter, I like the Mike Jordan them. Number one albums, what I got like for them. More of them on the way, the eighth wonder on the way. Clear the way, I'm here to stay. Y'all can say that you're the chat, this and that, this and Jay. This and Jay will get you mates. When I start spitting them lyrics, niggas get very religious. Six Hail Marys, please, fathers, forgive us. Young, the Archbishop, the Pope John Paul, and y'all niggas, the way y'all all follow Jigga. Hove's a living legend, and I tell you why. Everybody wanna be Hove, and Hove's still alive.
I just want to know, like, what happened to the black Kanye West?
That's a whole nother show, though. That's a whole nother show.
We put out an all points bulletin for the Black Kanye. If you see him, if you see him,
send him home.
In my heart, y'all. In my heart, though, I think so much has been going on this Black History Month that he going to go to sleep one night, right? And all of the spirits going to hit him like, you know, a Christmas carol when Ebenezer Scrooge went to bed and, like, the spirits came and got him right together. Like, Kanye going to be visited by, like, the ghost of lyrics past. That's just going to repeat old stuff he used to say. Like, this record, for example, or Spaceships. I remember an old Negro spiritual with Kanye said, I've been working this grave shift, and I ain't even made shit. I wish I could find me a spaceship and fly. That might be in the Bible, somewhere between Genesis and Revelation. It might be in there. Anyway, we can wish.
No, I'm up.
We can wish.
Okay.
That was a Black History fact. So, Black Pope, let's talk about it, right? Like, you guys posed the question, is Black History Month relevant? Can you bring about some context into what even made that a thought or had that as part of the narrative? Like, where did that come from?
Okay. Well, historically, Black History Month was created in an effort to educate us about our history, and to kind of keep the legacy alive. And it may sound cliche, but the intent of Black History Month was to carve out our space here because. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. It's a bit of static, just a bit, but we can hear you.
What about now? Can you guys hear me a little bit better? Is it still staticky?
Yeah.
What about now? I'm sorry, guys.
I don't know.
Better? Can everyone hear me?
Hold on. I can hear you. Yeah, we hear you fine now. Go ahead.
Okay.
That's fine.
So, I apologize, guys, but the intent I was saying was of Black History Month when it was created, the thought was to kind of, we were etching out ourselves in this country, and we were beginning to, we had to keep our legacy alive, the thought, the history, the story, the slave narrative, even the narratives of our ancestors who walked across the bridge in Selma, and furthermore, our ancestors that were, you know, the silent courage that they had. So I think that in the very heart of Black History Month is that it was meant to educate us about our past and never let us forget it. There's a quote, and again, it may sound a little bit cliche, but Oprah Winfrey said it. I am where I am because of the bridges that I crossed. Sojourner Truth, bridge. Harriet Tubman was a bridge. Ida B. Wells was a bridge. Madam C.J. Walker was a bridge. Fannie Lou Hamer was a bridge. Now, these were bridges, and Aretha Franklin sings about it in Bridge Over Troubled Waters. These are our bridges. Black History Month is gives us a chance to remember our bridges because we can't go anywhere without kind of remembering where we come from. I think there's a certain strength in knowing that you stand on your ancestors' shoulders and knowing exactly who they are. Now, as we move into a new time and a new generation, I think it's key for us to begin to talk about Black history from the lens of actually living in a moment where Black history is being created. So I think that Black History Month for us now may have been significantly different than when it was first created. But the concept of where we come from, the foundation of which we stand, are still very deeply intertwined into what Black History Month is. But what we're doing right now is we're contributing to the new concept of what Black History Month is. So our generation is upon a big change, and we are fighting in all different elements to bring about this change. So now Black History Month must be talked about, including those who have silent courage and are heroes that we see every day that do the work. So Black History Month has changed. But I do have a question that I want to pose to you guys. This is the concept of what I see Black History Month as being in our future. So my question is, what does Black History Month look like for you if it's relevant?
Mama, did you want to go first, or I'm gonna go because you know I don't want to forget, because sometimes my medicine causes me to forget if you know what I mean. I would have to say that there is relevance for me in Black history, in all of my identities, but I want to also add, and we see you back in the building, Black Mama. I want to also add that Black History Month for me has always been 365, and this year's a leap year, so 366 days out of the year. My identities usher me into a room. So it's constantly a thought that there is a legacy that precedes me, and there's a legacy I'm working to build. And I think that society's constructs, particularly for Black people and people of color and indigenous people and immigrants, have made it such that they keep us away from our history because that keeps us away from our power. And an example I always give to people who are like, what do you mean our history is our power? Egypt liberated themselves in 10 days. You can't even get a call from Comcast in 14 business days. They can't come out in 2 weeks. That can't happen. But they liberated themselves from dictatorship in 10 days. And I am of the belief that that occurred because when they looked up, they were able to see their pyramids. When they go outside, they're able to see the Nile. You know what I mean? Their history is there. Mm-hmm. We are removed from our history. Social media is currently, specifically Facebook, sharing a little worksheet that a child was given regarding how the 13 colonies came about. And on that very worksheet, it suggests the African-American people came over here. They could have just left that line out. I can understand not wanting to teach Sally about slavery. You don't want to tell her what her folk did. Okay, fine. But you also could have left that lie out. So I'm cognizant and have always been made cognizant. And that's just been a part of my upbringing. And I hope the same for the next generation. And that leaves us to talk about who's bringing up those generations. And with that, I'm going to pass it on to Black Mama. Is Black history relevant, as the Black Pope asked?
It's very much relevant. But like you said, it's an everyday of every year, down to the nanosecond thing. You can't just wait for one particular month and say, okay, I'm super Black now. I'm super Black all the time, and so are my kids, and so are the people in the village. And, you know, it's not something that we turn on and turn off, because, you know, Black excellence happens every day, every minute. So I try to celebrate it and, you know, talk about it and share things with my kids on a personal level, because of the fact that there are things that they're not being taught at school. They're not even participating in anything spectacular at my kids' high school now for Black History Month. So it's important that you be Black, period. It's very important. It's very relevant.
If I can add on to that, this is the Black Pope, Sheva. I want to ask if I can add on to that.
At any time, you're a welcome guest.
Okay.
You in the house.
All right.
Yes.
So, in March, I went to Egypt. And I had asked my mom, Black mother, I had gone to my mom, and I'm like, hey, where should I go? You should go to Egypt. And I said, why? She said, because you have to know how great you are. Like, you know, but you have to see this. Because I feel like sometimes sometimes being here can kind of put you in a box. And although you read about it, for me, touching it was different. And so when I began to learn about all of that history and what the Nubians did, the concept of Hatshepsut and Akhenaten, Cleopatra, Nefertiti, I started to learn about the very roots of who they are and the concept of building the pyramids of Giza, what type of mind that took. And then I began to see how we demonize Imhotep and how, in my mind, oh, man, he's on the mummy. But this man was a genius, and this man created everything that we know as arithmetic, all of these things I began to learn. Now, in African, in Black History Month, and I totally agree with that 365 because that's how I learned who I am, but in Black History Month, it doesn't talk about, even in society or even in conversation, and that's why I think it's so powerful that you mentioned it, we don't really talk about Ramses or the
right.
great kings of Egypt or, you know,
exactly.
we don't talk about that.
Yeah.
We don't include that as our history, right? We think
right.
about, oh, we start with Phyllis Wheatley, or we start with the element of slavery, but we never
yeah.
go back to our Maya, right? And we never go
right.
back to our Maya. I mean, our Maya was painful. That's where they stripped us. But when we got here, they gave us this new history, and we don't even talk about before
exactly.
this even happened who they were. So I think that that's a very powerful notion. If you walk up to some kids, I ask them, who's Shaka Zulu? Oh, that's a movie, or, oh, that's like, you know, I heard.
Right.
No, like, he was a king. These were kings. Haile Selassie. These were kings. You know, so I think that the concept, kings and queens, I mean, the queens are even
exactly.
more magnificent. So I think that sometimes we forget that, and then that's just a very powerful element that I appreciate you bringing into the conversation.
Absolutely.
I want to say, and we're having technical difficulties. That's not anybody's phone. That is, like, our system's not wanting this to be transmitted. So we've done everything. We've cut everybody off. We've streamlined everybody's mic during music. This is literally just feedback going on. But I wanted to touch on the thought process that our identity, particularly in America, is very much slavery-centered. What I wanted to say in that regard is when we're told about Africa, when we're told about Egypt, the very first thing, and this is something that Harry Belafonte said, and I heard him say it at Crampton Auditorium, and it changed my whole entire life. He said, some folks are running around claiming to be Afrocentric and do not know that Africa is a continent.
Yes, indeed.
That was so real, and the level of real, and the way that though we were on a college campus, a historically Black college campus, it was people who were bowling ball Black that were having to break that down and digest it because the shade was too much for them to catch the wind. You understand? And when I saw, it wasn't even that he said it because I knew Africa was a continent. It wasn't that. It was that folks at that very moment had become enlightened to the fact, damn, Africa is one of the seven continents, and had to roll it back. It's almost like you caught folks counting on their fingers. And that was when I had the realization. And then I also had the realization of how far removed we are from our fellow brothers and sisters in Africa when I met a young lady who her first time in America was coming to Howard University. She'd never been to the country, but the legacy of the creation of, you know, Black Greek letter organizations, the legacy of folks like Alain Sharp, Zora Neale Hurston, and so many other folks who have slid through and come out of Howard University, because there's a difference between sliding through and coming out, but that will be another episode of the Black Male Show. Did you slide through or come out of your HBCU, and why? Anyway, but I say all of that to say, if we knew our power, we would be a problem. And that's why the Prophet Noble Drew Ali would always say that if we all woke up at the same time, it would be disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
We're too much. We've been too much. And their goal was never to deny that we were too much. It was to get us to forget.
Mm-hmm.
And so the existence of Black History Month is one of the most powerful things we can have. And also, now that we are in election season, I put forth a Black man as former president
is one of the best things. See, because now he can say some things when January comes that he possibly could not have said in the last 8 years. Now he can share some things. And you know what I mean? The joy that comes. Now, I may not be here because it's looking like we'll be under the leadership of President Trump.
But
don't you worry. But I really think that Black History Month is our secret weapon. It's our opportunity to resurrect the freedom schools in our own homes. We don't need anybody else to do it. To tell stories about how Rosa Parks wasn't the first person to sit on a bus and refuse to move. And how, in fact, the first person was a teenage young woman.
Mm-hmm.
How would our youth feel if they knew that? Think about when we have Black History Month forthcoming and we're able to say that it was young voters who made sure Barack Obama was president, because all the numbers show it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you all remember that was shared with you during Black History Month in days of old that really sticked out to you?
Everything was so basic compared to what I know now.
But was there a specific fact where you were just like, oh, wow, really? Or is that going to be me one day? And it just really sat with you and it just really struck with you.
No.
The day my mom told me, you can do whatever you want to do because, look, somebody that looks like you has done it before you. So no matter if it's creating a life, if it's having surgery, whatever you want to do, you can do it because you are powerful beyond belief. And when I began to learn about Sojourner Truth, the first time I read Ain't I a Woman, and I began to learn about Harriet Tubman and her attitude towards freedom, it really put in perspective for me that, you know, I mean, we're going to get there. And if you're not going to, we didn't came this far. And if you're not going to go, then you got to go. You can't be with
us. Right.
Okay?
That's real.
We're going over there. We are going over there. We are not going to stop. We're going to, you can sit there. Stay there. Because we're going.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I want to take a moment because the Black Rev is in the building. Rev,
okay,
hallelujah.
Hey,
how you doing?
What
hey,
up?
Rev.
I didn't
come on
y'all.
In the room. Come on in the room.
You know how them old mothers be in church. It don't even be time for a selection. They just bust out, and don't nobody want to be disrespectful. So they just let them sing. Let them
okay.
Talk that right on out. The pastor might start singing with them like it was part of the program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hop on
yes.
up here with the choir.
Yes.
I'm almost this sure the Black Pope is affirming Black History Month. Is that what we got going on here?
Yeah,
yes.
That's what we're doing right now.
Are you affirming Black History Month? We don't never know your angle. We don't never know your angle.
Through
so
it works.
I'm very interested to hear where you stand on this. And hold on, before we get to, if you're interested in, you know, making your opinion known, we may call it. Don't be scared. 646-787-8623. Again, that's 646-787-8623. We're on Facebook. Facebook.com/blackmailshow. We love y'all. Talk to us. We listen. We care. Go ahead on.
I'm about to say, I know I got mixed feelings. I feel like every day is Black History, you know? I feel like every day somebody making Black History. We need to be teaching our kids Black History. You know, I feel like Black History Month is for them. It ain't for us. It shouldn't be anyway. The unfortunate thing is that we've defaulted to letting that be the only time that we affirm ourselves, our history, and our people.
Hold on.
And so.
Hold on. Can you say it one more again? Black History Month is for them. It ain't for us.
Yeah, it's for Come on, tweet that. What's up?
I mean, you know, I'm writing it down.
But that's how I feel, though. You know, I feel like the one who gets to the mine first is the winner. That's an old African proverb from Yoruba. But that's the truth. And so because we don't start out teaching our kids that in a more intentional way, you know, we let somebody else get to the mine first. And when we go back to taking Black history back and allowing our teacher, our teaching, our culture, everything that we are begin to permeate, you know, our community, we lacking a lot of self-knowledge, and I'm grateful that it's an awakening happening right now where people are beginning to become more aware of who we are and who we've always been. But we got to keep that up. We got to create more opportunities for that too, you know. I want to see more Black schools popping up that have been created by Black people for Black people, you know, to affirm Black people. I'm waiting to see what Brother Umar going to do. He collected all this money. I ain't going to go there tonight, but
you know what?
I definitely want to see. I would love to see some schools for little Black girls because everybody got them for little Black boys.
Mm-hmm.
She said, hell, I don't know. But,
come on.
You know, but at the end of the day, one of the things that we lost in our culture that we didn't bring back over here with us when they brought us was the rites of passage. It's in our DNA to be able to conquer one level, to master one level of self, and then to be introduced into the next level. And we don't do that anymore in our teachings, in our culture, none of that. And I feel like when we begin to re-embrace that, then we can put into perspective a lot of the things that our kids is out here getting into simply by incentivizing them, by letting them know, no, you're going to learn this, but you got to learn this first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have your chance to explore yourself and your sexuality and, you know, your desires and it get real, you know? I have conversations with 8, 9, 10-year-olds who coming in and embracing parts of themselves, and it's like, baby, you don't even know who you is. How you gonna tell me you? But anyway,
can I ask something? I just want to pose something, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You said that we need schools that affirm us, but do Black people know how to affirm ourselves?
Ooh.
In a world that was constructed the entire time to tear us down, can that exist? In America, can that happen here, where 20% of the folks who are pulling for Donald Trump believe that the Emancipation Proclamation should not have released slaves?
I think it can. I just think we can't look for somebody else to do it. That's the issue, you know. And y'all know my whole, and I talk about it every week, building versus building. We listen. The question is when we're going to love ourselves enough to be able to affirm the goodness that we see within us, to be able to affirm the innateness of divinity that resides within. You know, at the end of the day, we got to take some time to unlearn what we've learned. The issue is that when we know something ain't right, we just keep on going along to get along. In the name of trying to be able to acquire, you know, I look at the integrationist generation, and all they wanted was a piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to say we got what you got. And we'll give up whatever we have to within ourselves to be able to have that among you. And we completely left our communities alone. Screw it. I'll go work for Wall Street, blue collar, white collar, whatever. You know? And even when we know that we doing stuff that ain't exactly the best for our communities, you're just like, well, hell, me and my family's fine. Why do I need to be concerned with, you know? And it's that selfish mentality that continues to self-perpetuate. So then the question becomes is when we going to stop and take some accountability and some responsibility for the things we have not done? Because we can keep on, you know, talking about the history, and I know that it's there. It exists. But when we know that it ain't right, we got to make a choice to do something different. And that's the one thing that we're not willing to do because we're afraid of what we'll lose in the process. We ain't even looking at what we can gain. My issue with black folk is that we don't believe the possible is possible. Mm. And because we don't believe it, we ain't never going to work for it.
Kanye said, even if you in a Benz, you still a nigga in a coupe. That was the black Kanye we looking for. We still looking for him, but yeah.
He need to come on home, honey.
No. And he ain't coming home. He happy to be $53 million in debt over slave clothes. Come on now.
Listen.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Can we talk about, I got homeless families I can't raise money for, but Kanye got $3,000 towards it. Never mind. Because what we're not going to compare struggles. Because let's get into the political lens of Kanye. I'm about to give you the political scope of Kanye's problems in 2 seconds. This is white supremacy at work. White supremacy and their beauty standards killed Kanye West's mother. And that was by no coincidence, if you think that that was on accident, you are very much mistaken. In addition to the death of his mother, he had no other real support system. He then becomes rich. He's around Jay-Z, who on a good day could be your friend, unless, of course, you are more talented than him. Kanye is not only more talented, he is smarter. So he knew to play dumb. And play along to get along. Then his mother dies. And, of course, we live in a community where we don't foster our mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And then the white man has produced the white woman, a succubus of sorts that takes our black excellence and turns it into her very own plaything, so to speak. Now, Kanye West out here looking crazy. But if you ask me, I believe that eventually there is going to be a revelation that Kanye West was only with her to exploit her in the very same way that we used to exploit Sarah Bartman. More on Kanye on the next Blackmail show.
Come on, somebody.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Because he married her. He took her over to Paris. And if you know anything about our former black activist, Langston Hughes went and lived in Paris. You don't know, many of our black Harlem Renaissance folk picked up, rolled out, and went to Paris. Josephine Baker not only went to Paris, started working for Paris because she realized they respected her more than what we had here in America. You need to know your history.
That's why it's important.
Yep.
It got me started.
What you say, Black Pope?
I said that's why it's important. I was saying, but to your point about African Americans building, like building schools and stuff like that, I think that goes right into the concept of education, and what we were going to discuss on education, because I think that's very important. That's very important, and the whole concept that you mentioned of how it would change the community. I think that's really important, and I think that we need to start thinking of ways that we can do that, you know? I think that's important. I think that we need to start putting our resources into building schools. Why not let's build schools. There's no reason why our kids are going to school hungry. There's no reason. No reason.
When we were brought here to grow shit, come on, Black Pope. They brought us here. We grew their food. Why are we starving? Take a moment.
We are farmers.
Ask yourself.
But they call it urban deserts, and then they put millions and millions of dollars into these green projects that are supposed to bring this concept of growing and fresh produce into our communities, but then they end up dying because the wrong people are ahead of it, because they're not people who are in that community who care about their community and care about the kid across the street who can go right down to the garden. He doesn't have to be hungry. Go right down to the garden, pick the lettuce, pick the peppers, pick grapes, pick strawberries, and go home and have food. So I really think that's exactly what they do. They call it an urban desert. They call it a green initiative. And the green initiative always fails because the green initiative is not meant to feed us. It's meant to starve us and to dangle the idea of having something in our community that will create economic stability.
Mm.
But the struggle of black folk is not going to change until we debunk the myth of a figurehead. We still waiting on our black messiah. Y'all ain't know this? When you talk to the elders,
folks still excited because Al Sharpton lost weight. Can we talk about it? They still excited because Al Sharpton lost weight. They was like, oh, he done came down. Al about to show out. They still waiting for it. We going to... Don't get me started.
We waiting on that one. You know, and my whole thing, I think it was Audre Lorde that said strong people don't need strong leaders. No, strong leaders don't.
Exactly.
Strong people don't need strong leaders or something like that. Because we all become leaders.
Yeah.
You're going to make me have to go look the quote.
Exactly.
But somebody know, y'all know what I'm talking about.
I'm not
feeling too good today. But the issue is we're not creating enough strong leaders in our community to where we feel like we don't need that one figure to lead us out of, you know, exile. Come on, Moses, you know, help get us out of Egypt type.
Imagine if we ditched leadership and embraced being leaderful.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the black church going to do about that, man? If you get all these people excited about being personal leaders and standing up in their own community, being responsible for each one block at a time and making this huge community conglomerate where everybody works together, self-sustainability. Where does that put the megachurch? I feel like they're being sabotaged.
That's why they need to go, though.
Exactly.
Black Rev said that. Because if you're out here proselytizing the mission and the purpose of the church, then you're pimping us.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, you the enemy.
Exactly.
I don't care what you is, what color you is. And we got a whole bunch of coonery that go on in our community. In our churches, you know. And people, at the end of the day, man, you separate the real from the fake by what they do. At the end of the day, I sit at a whole lot of tables. And I'm grateful to be able to say that I can sit at these tables because I've learned how to turn black voice off. And I know how to talk very eloquently when I am in the proper surroundings. Where I do not appear to be a threat.
And if you are
a
regular listener,
threat,
this is another example of what we like to call code switching. I love it. You never know what you're going to miss. You never know what you're going to miss.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what you're going to miss. You got to follow along. There are prerequisite courses to the Blackmail Show. Take a moment and binge listen. Take a moment and binge listen. If you ride in the short bus to 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, we welcome you. It don't matter. You're here now. It's all right.
Ooh, y'all done did too
but
much.
We got to do our part, though, man.
Yeah.
And that means
getting
our people that ain't real out in the open. Make people accountable. That's
what
the one thing we hate in our community.
What does that look like? What does that look like? Does that look like telling on Pookie if Pookie is the drug dealer?
That don't mean telling on Pookie.
What it means?
That means going to have a conversation with Pookie.
Okay.
I mean, it might mean putting your foot
in Pookie's
ass. That
don't mean you're on Pookie.
You know.
You're going to have a conversation with Pookie. What's up, Pookie? We need to get to know one another.
Yeah.
I know who you are.
Just,
I know what you do around here, bro.
Yeah. That's all you do.
Because at the end of the day, you selling this dope out here, bro. But let me let you know that the same way you can run this business in the street, you can run this business on paper and let Uncle Sam pay you for your mind. Now, let's talk about this. Because I ain't telling you you need to give up your guns and all of that. But instead of hurting the community, can you protect us?
Mm-hmm.
What would it look like if we could have you, you know, to man the streets? You got all the little street soldiers out here. You got the little buddies. You got the OGs.
Mm-hmm.
You know them all. You know, you're all cool. So can we see how this can be beneficial? Because at the end of the day, I know you love your mama. No, you let grandma on them. No, you got people in your life that you care about. And so what you want for your kids? What you want for your family? You got to appeal to people where they at. You got to know that even in the killers of the killers, the hardest of the hardest, everybody got a soft spot in their heart.
Exactly. You got to reach them where
believe
they are.
That. I don't care what they done.
Redirection.
And
that's
you
right.
got to know how to reach people where they are. Appeal to what they good at. And not
exactly.
condemn people, but show them another way. It's hard to change somebody's mind about something if you ain't got an alternative. And you ain't got an alternative that has worked. So don't have me trying shit that you ain't never done before, or you don't know
mm-hmm.
the plausibility of its success.
Mm-hmm.
And when we begin
exactly
to offer
right.
alternative options to people and teach them, so, bruh, let's ease you about this drug game.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that means teaching you where to invest your money so it make more money for you. Because all hustlers understand the concept of flipping bread. You understand what
pretty
I'm saying?
Much.
So when you start talking them numbers don't lie. Let's talk about how we can make your profit margins increase. How we can get your
mm-hmm.
ROI up.
Yeah, and get our community locked tight in another lane. You know, it's pieces, it's Legos. That's it.
That's it.
That same brother could be running a community center.
If
you
we
know,
do that, we're creating opportunities. If we do
and
that,
he probably got the capital to go drop bread on land. He probably got the means and the resources to be stuff
exactly.
that other folks that's just out here talking can't do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Create an opportunity. We create
we
our
only
own opportunity.
Got. We only got a couple more minutes. I'm sorry to cut y'all off. You know, I hate to be the timekeeper. But I wanted to say, because we're having this conversation, I want to ask you all, we need to really reschedule when we can carry this on. Because this is like a part two is definitely necessary. I also think the Black Pope should just, you know, free up her Wednesdays to join us on the regular. But, you know, you pray on that and let you know. You let us know what you decide. And
well, you know the Black Rev is my Rev, so I'm going to be praying with her.
Okay. Y'all pray together. Each one, teach one. How many? We got three hands. Do we need three? Okay. Okay.
But I wanted to let y'all know that we were getting close on time. And I also wanted to ask you, even about the drunk game and things of that nature, can we do that here or do we need to move? Now, I'm going to ask you that, but we are going to have that conversation on Facebook. Like us, tell a friend to like us. We're going to be on Twitter. We are going to keep talking to y'all on a regular basis. If you know somebody that should be a guest, if you have something that you want to say, hit us up on Facebook, send us a message. That's Facebook.com/blackmail show or search us the Blackmail Show. I wanted to give y'all a chance to give some final thoughts before we got off here, but I just wanted to, you know, flag that we only had a few more minutes.
Okay.
Listen, Black Rev, I'm going to tell you now, it ain't no time like the present. We running out of time, y'all, and it's of the essence. And so acknowledge that we're the ones we've been waiting for. And let's do our best to be able to invest in ourselves and our families and our communities, even if that means that we got to figure out a way to be able to build sustainably in a place that ain't where we are. We got to be able to put ourselves in a position to be able to move to action instead of just talking. Peace.
Indeed.
So this is the Black Pope. I just want to encourage listeners to be involved. Parents be involved. Parents more so. We looking at education. Be involved. And everybody that's just listening to us, just be encouraged. Because this conversation needs to be happening around dinner tables. It needs to be happening in cars. It needs to be happening in schools. It needs to be happening everywhere. And so just be cautious. Be aware. Know what's going on. Know when you're supposed to vote. Know when it's time to vote. And don't be silent. Don't be silent, because it's very important now, more than ever, that we be prepared, like the Black Rev said, and we need to be included. And if we have to yell to be heard, we'll do so. But we're here, and we're gonna generate some change. And if we need to move, I'm moving with the Black Rev.
Absolutely. And this is Black Mother, and I just want to encourage you all to include the youth.
Don't leave the youth out. They're active. They're motivated. They follow by example. Don't forget they're watching you. You know what I mean? Give them something to be proud of. Build them up. Make them proud of themselves. They need to be confident. They make better choices when they're aware of who they are. Don't treat them like, you know, stepchildren. Don't be their first bullies. Listen to them. Engage them in the conversation, in all of it, in politics, in sustainability, in economics, in just awareness, black awareness. Put the fist up in your kids, too.
Hey, man.
They're part of the neighborhood, too. Don't forget the youth.
Kanye said, listen to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
A broke clock is right twice a day. So we still gonna be looking for the real.
Mm-hmm.
We still gonna be looking for the real Kanye. We also gonna start a building fund. If y'all can be putting money up towards Kanye's rent, we gonna start a building fund. And then we'll figure out what
rent is gonna be all right.
After
build
you fund
art.
It, we will figure out what we building after you fund it. I don't really have much else to say. I think that I've said a lot on this topic during this conversation. I want to thank you all for continuing to bring your authentic selves and your real ideas to this platform. And I just want to leave out and let everybody know that the Black Rev picked all of our music for today's show. Wake up, everybody! Wasn't trying to play. It's fine. It's probably because it was the John Legend version and not the Curtis Mayfield version, but we'll let it go. I want to leave us with the song that Black Rev picked out for us, which is Kendrick Lamar, All Right. Because regardless of what, we made us some magical stuff, y'all. That's not an understatement. And if you have any sort of belief in the Most High, you know we're going to be all right. So let's have that as our benediction. Same time, same channel. We hope you get the message. This has been the Black Male Show.
All's my life I had to fight. All's my life I hard times like, yeah. Bad trips like, yeah. Nazareth, I'm f***ed up, homie. You f***ed up, but if God got us, then we gon' be all right. And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the face down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. We're pretty Benjamin is the highlight. I tell my mama I love her, but this is what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a f***ing gangster in silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my vices all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. When our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? And we hate po-po, when they kill us dead in the street for sure. I'm at the preacher's door, my knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright. Right.
We gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
What you want? You a house, you a car, 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar, anything. See, my name is Lucy. I'm your dog. Motherfucker, you can live at the mall. I can see the evil. I can tell it. I know it's illegal. I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero. Thinking of my partner. Put the candy, painting on a Rico. Digging in my pocket. In a profit. Big enough to feed you. Every day my logic. Get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico. Ah! I don't talk about it. Be about it. Every day I sequel. If I got it, then you know you got it. Heaven, I can reach you. Pet dog, pet dog, pet dog. My dog, that's all. Sit back and chat. I shut the back for y'all. I rap, I black on tracks. So rest assured. My rights, my wrongs. I write till I'm right with God.
When you know we've been hurt, been down before. When our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? And we hate po-po, when they kill us dead in the street for sure. I'm at the preacher's door, my knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
All right.
We gon' be alright.
dark nights and my prayers.
I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same, abusing my power full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming in the hotel room. I didn't want to self-destruct. The evils of Lucy was all around me. So I went running for answers.